This is John Lothian with the commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for September 11th, 2020. Today, John Lothian News announced the launch of a new MarketsWiki education video series named The Path to Electronic Trading. The new series will capture the stories of the move from trading on the floors to trading on the screen. Here is the announcement. John J. Lothian & Company, Inc. and John Lothian News are pleased to announce the launch of a new MarketsWiki education video series, The Path to Electronic Trading. The Path to Electronic Trading was inspired by the success of the Open Outcry Traders History Project. Jerry Corcoran, the CEO of R.G. O'Brien, came to JLN to tell his story of how his one day of working on the trading floor helped create the path to electronic trading, as RJO and other firms applied technology to improve the efficiency of the futures trading pit, busting at the seams with paper orders. His story inspired us to develop this series that will capture the individual stories of people and firms that embraced technology and created the evolutionary path from the shouting of orders on the trading floor to all forms of trading electronically of derivatives, securities, and other products. For the complete audio version of this announcement, go to johnlothiannews.com. The first video in the Path to Electronic Trading series is, of course, of Jerry Corcoran. Here is the accompanying commentary I wrote, or at least the beginning of it. Jerry Corcoran's one day of working on the CBOT trading floor started a path to electronic trading by John Lothian. R.G. O'Brien CEO Jerry Corcoran spent just one day working on the trading floor during the drought of the summer of 1988. He was a new CFO for the brokerage firm, and it was an all-hands-on-deck day due to a severe drought that was causing huge volatility on the grain floor of the Chicago Board of Trade, where RJO had a lot of farmer hedging business. What Corcoran saw that day would forever impact RJO and the futures industry. Corcoran was appalled by the anachronistic process by which orders were received on the trading floor, run into the trading pit, reported back to the brokerage's trading desk after being recovered on the trash-filled floor of the exchange, and then ultimately reported back to the customers or their brokers. He saw that if RJO continued to use this process, there was no way it would grow its business, as more trading desk space was hard to come by. Instead, he knew RJO needed to apply some technology to the reporting of fills and ultimately to the routing of orders transmitted to the floor. The futures business in the 1980s had grown so much that the century-old proven processes of getting orders into and out of the trading pits needed to be much more efficient. For a complete audio version of this story, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here are the stories and comments from today's hits and takes section of the John Lothian newsletter. Today is 9/11. It is 19 years since the attacks on the U.S., on 9/11/2001. Never forget, never ever forget. 42 9/11 survivors have passed away from the COVID-19 virus, maybe more. Dr. Anthony Fauci said the U.S. needs to hunker down for the fall and winter. I am hunkering. I hope when I'm done hunkering, I will be a hunk. The reform broker, Joshua M. Brown, has a new podcast titled Why Markets Crash in the Fall. Bloomberg reports that suicides among U.S. kids and young adults jumped 57% in the last decade. Tom Lant posted a moving comment on Facebook about depression and suicide. I love Tom Lant. Show your love for everyone as you don't know for whom that expression of love and compassion could mean the difference between life and death. Phil McIntosh of NASDAQ has a commentary titled, What Everyone Should Know About the Stock Market. Matt Rabel of JLN shared this today. On 9/11/2001, I was 10 years old. I remember waiting for the school bus the morning that the tragedy in New York happened, completely unaware of what was going on. I went through the whole school day not knowing. I didn't find out until I went home that day. Years later, I feel weird about it. I kind of wish someone had told us what was happening, even though we were kids. Tom Thompson had this to say about a new CFTC announcement. The CFTC did some light lifting yesterday when it published its Division of Enforcement's guidelines for evaluating compliance programs in connection with enforcement matters. The three-page memo provides a framework for division staff in considering whether the target of an enforcement action has a compliance program reasonably designed to prevent, detect, and remediate misconduct. Such factors are to be weighed when penalties are assessed by the division in an enforcement action. As the footnote 2 in the memo says, the 390 words of the guidelines are not binding on anyone but the division staff. Just for the record, the text of the CFTC's press release is 470 words. Suzanne Cosgrove reported this about the MEMEX exchange. The Members Exchange, or MEMEX, on Thursday announced its inaugural fee structure with no pricing tiers or charges for market data or connectivity. In a release, the exchange said members will pay 25 cents per 100 shares to remove liquidity. Those who add liquidity will be rebated 29 cents per 100 shares for displayed volume and 20 cents per 100 shares for non-displayed volume, with pricing subject to filing with the SEC. MEMEX plans to launch in 7 stock symbols, ACST, BB, ED, FB, GOOG, ICSH, and XOM on September 21st and begin trading all NMS symbols on September 29th. The complete fee schedule for MEMEX launch can be found on their website, MEX.com. Here are some other stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Bloomberg has a story about Milton Friedman titled "Revisiting Milton Friedman's Critique on Stakeholderism." The Nobel laureate economist argued that CEOs and boards should focus on maximizing shareholder value, not stakeholder value. Exactly 50 years ago, economist Milton Friedman argued that corporate boards should focus on maximizing shareholder value and not get wrapped up in trying to achieve other objectives. The conventional wisdom in boardrooms today seems to be that Friedman was wrong. In fact, though, a whole lot of what he wrote was spot on. Sadly, the current emphasis on stakeholder value is one part enlightenment, one part public relations, and one part an attempt by corporate directors to get a freer hand to run companies as they personally see fit. A second story about Milton Friedman, this one from the New York Times, is titled "A Free Market Manifesto That Changed the World, Reconsidered." Milton Friedman's libertarian economics influenced presidents and inspired, quote, "greed is good," unquote. So what did Friedman get right and wrong? Today's business leader and economist weigh in. The commentary is by Andrew Ross Sorkin. September 13th is the 50th anniversary of a seminal moment in the world of business, the publication of Milton Friedman's essay in the New York Times Magazine entitled "The Social Responsibility of Business is to Increase Its Profits." CNN has a story titled "A New Front in Coronavirus Disinformation, Wall Street Research." Coronavirus misinformation is infecting the unlikeliest of places, Wall Street research that investors rely on in the financial markets. In an early August note to clients, an analyst at a research firm called Fundstrat Global Advisors, which distributes widely read reports and analysis to investors, cited a series of tweets by an ophthalmologist named James Todaro, who painted a rosy picture of the population's potential for developing herd immunity to the coronavirus. The crypto markets wiki coin of the week is XRP. XRP, a digital asset created by Ripple, has been and continues to be used in multiple giveaway scams based on YouTube. The scams involve users creating videos that use Ripple's logo and the likeness of its CEO, Brad Garlinghouse. Ripple sued the video platform in April, alleging the platform's, quote, willful blindness, unquote, to such scams led to their proliferation on YouTube. YouTube filed a motion in July to dismiss the allegations, which Ripple recently contested. Here are the top three most read stories from yesterday's edition of JLN. Our top read story Thursday was the Financial Times EDF man agrees debt restructuring in 11th hour rescue. Second was my commentary on David Downey's colorful 2018 letter to the CFTC. David Downey knows security futures like no one else. Third was the Wall Street Journal's How Travel Will Change Post-Pandemic, 10 Expert Predictions. Even luggage might change. Here are the MarketsWiki statistics for the day. The site has a total of 187,725,259 pages viewed, with 24,406 total pages and 226,001 edits. Have a great weekend and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.